After this, I'm going to give you both full permission to correct anybody on any kind of historical fashion ever.
Thank you.
So I'm going to use that power willy-nilly, and I'm going to start insisting incorrect facts are for sure real, and I'm going to point them to this moment of this episode and tell them that's why I'm allowed to say that.
You know what? It's going to be funny, so I regret nothing.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Lillian, just make that into like a little sound clip that you can just play on demand from your phone. Be like, no, listen to this. See, I'm certified. Lillian, hello. How are you today?
Piper, I'm so good. I'm particularly good today. Can you guess why I'm particularly good today?
I think it's because there's this person standing over here smiling at us.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Hey, you want to introduce yourself? What's going on?
Hello. My name is Layla, and I'm so happy to be here. Oh. I'm so happy for you guys to let me into your attic. It's very nice. I think the scratch marks on the wall like really add to the ambiance.
Thank you. We've been working really hard on those.
It's super nice that Piper lets people come visit me here after we've decided that I'm fully insane and do need to be locked away.
Well, you know, as much as I don't want to let you outside of this room, I do need to make sure that you have enrichment and can every now and then see the outside world. So,
and I appreciate that. And I appreciate this guest today. Layla, why are you here? What are you here to talk about?
We're going to talk about fashion.
Yay. It's essentially a Amazing. Whole episode of Bonnet Watch, guys. Because
Bonnet Watch, but better.
Yes.
Yes.
Because Layla is Victorian Historian on Instagram. If you guys are not following her, what a terrible mistake.
It's Victorian.historian. Someone already had Victorian Historian, which I was kind of upset about, but now I'm chill with it. It's
fine. Okay. So we're all going to take a breath and we're going to be okay about it. And we're not going to fight someone on the internet, probably.
I was going to say, if you want to fight this person in a Kmart parking lot, we will be there for you. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe a McDonald's parking lot.
Okay. Sure. That makes sense. That sounds good.
Then we can get snacks afterwards. Yeah.
There's snacks there. I've never even thought about that. What a terrible location we picked.
Just Kmart is the jankiest spot where you could possibly like throw hands. So I'm like, no, it's got to be there.
Oh my God. I thought it would be Walmart that's like the jankiest.
True, but Walmart is still open, and there's like Kmarts around the Twin Cities that have been abandoned for years. So
they just
like,
have like the sign outside, and there's no store, and it's just an empty parking lot.
I don't think I've ever stepped foot into Kmart, so fair enough.
Nice, you're not missing anything. But let's talk about fashion.
Kmart's. Let's do it, and let's start the way we always start with guests, which is by forcing them to tell us what they have experienced with Jane Eyre. So why Jane Eyre for you? What's it about?
So I first read it when I was like 16 and I was going through a bit of a classic lit kick and I didn't really know what to read. So I've been reading some stuff and I kind of got into Jane Austen and I was reading it on my phone and it said, if you like Pride and Prejudice, you should read Jane Eyre. And I'm like, that's probably the same thing. It was not. It was so not. It was like, but I had barely read the description because I'm like, oh, governess, whatever. And I read it and I was like, mind blown. Like, I'm usually very blank faced when I read, but this was like, it got me, bro. Like, you don't even know. I remember the proposal scene specifically. It was like late at night. I was supposed to be sleeping because I had school the next day, but I was reading this and I genuinely was like jumping up and down, like trying to make as little noise as possible because I was going to wake up everybody screaming.
Oh, cute. I love that.
And like, I was about to start like yelling at my phone when I was reading when she was leaving. Like, I was a mess.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Every time I hear someone who has a similar experience to me of just being like, wait, hang on. It's just like, yes, I'm not alone in this.
And now I'm like forcing everybody I know to read it. Like, it became like a required reading to actually know me.
That's amazing.
Like, I made my cousin read it for this podcast because I want her to listen to it. And she just got onto the proposal and she was about to get to the wedding. So I'm waiting for the text.
Oh my God. Yes. Incredible. Oh my God. That's amazing. So good.
We have a close friend of ours who just told me that she's going to start reading Jane Eyre. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm also similarly awaiting. It's Maya, Lillian.
Okay.
I know your brain was processing. And I'm like, it's our friend Maya.
That's awesome. And then we got to know you because you would send us these incredible fashion updates after our episodes would come out. And we would get this message of being like, here's some things you didn't know about Victorian fashion, until I was finally like, you know who needs to know this? Our listeners. You've got to come on and tell them.
And I was so happy when you sent us.
I was so happy you agreed to come on. Well, so we are going to go through a couple of like two kind of big areas today. We're going to start by doing some generic learnings for Piper and I on Victorian fashion, learn some of the terms, some of the eras, and go through that sort of generally. And then you have prepared notes on three of our favorite adaptions, the 83, obviously, the 2006, also obviously, and then the 2011. And we're going to go through some specific examples of fashion in there and see kind of how our learnings apply to these adaptions. And then we're going to be really smart forever. And everyone's going to be really excited for us. So
after this, I'm going to give you both full permission to correct anybody on any kind of historical fashion ever.
Thank you. So I'm going to use that power willy-nilly, and I'm going to start insisting incorrect facts are for sure real. And I'm going to point them to this moment of this episode and tell them that's why I'm allowed to say that.
You know what? It's going to be funny. So I regret nothing.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Lillian, just make that into like a little sound clip that you can just play on demand from your phone. Be like, no, listen to this. See, I'm certified.
Just please, for the love of God, don't say the courses are death traps because I'm going to start crying.
That's Piper's.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe you heard I kind of went on a slight rant about this in one of our
episodes.
I was audibly
cheering.
Yay!
I was losing it.
Oh my gosh. I don't have all the facts, but I've watched a few videos because some of my favorite YouTubers are historical costume people, and I've seen them go through it and they're like, no, that is like the man who turned it into a kink and it's not historically accurate. It just supported women. And it's like, yay. So I want you to tell me all about that.
You know what? I'm not even going to go into the corset rain yet.
Because
we're just going to save that. Let it marinate.
Yeah. That's a little sneak peek for later in the episode, guys. But I literally, before we even started recording, have already used the terminology wrong because I said, these little fashion cards. And you were like, that's not what they are. So can we, let's get into it. I'm so excited to learn.
So we're going to be looking at a lot of fashion plates and extant garments. Those are basically what I usually use when I go to research because obviously you would use an extant garment. But fashion plates are basically, they would come out in magazines every year and describe the kind of fashion that would be used for that year. Like basically the trendiest kind of thing. So usually a lot of women would go to their tailors or their dressmakers and stuff, say that this is the kind of design they wanted, this is what they want, and everything like that, and then have it made. And they were used from like the 18th century onward throughout the Victorian era. I don't know how long afterwards that because I'm not really versed in the Edwardian era past that. So they were probably finished at that time. So we're not only just going to be going into Victorian fashion, because like Lillian's been saying that we're doing a lot of Victorian. We're spanning from the Regency era into the Victorian. Okay. So the Regency era, we're going to start off with that. It historically spanned from 1811 to 1820. I usually describe from 1800 to 1820 just to make it easier in my mind, but historically 1811 to 20. It's called the Regency era because George III was insane and his son, literally, he was like clinically insane.
I know, but I've known the term Regency era and I never knew that was why.
The things he would do, it was like, it's crazy, literally. So his son, who would eventually become George IV, became the Prince Regent. So now it's Regency. So the ideal fashion of the time would be very columnar and straight, and they would aim for a Gretchen style. And it was slowly evolving into a wider skirt going into the 20s. But at the beginning, it was very straight. And Regency stays, which were kind of the undergarments that would be used, they were corded instead of having whalebone in the Victorian corsets because the support was the main focus, not the waist. Either way, in the Victorian corsets, support was also a focus, but some people wanted a smaller waist. Because the empire waist was a thing that started just below the bust, the small waist wasn't really kind of something that people wanted to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's that, like when we think of, like, I know Bridgerton is like not what we're talking about, but like the only, I think, fashion accurate thing is that it's very tight over your top, your titties. And then it sort of like goes into that, like, it doesn't, you don't really have a weight. Like, it just kind of like flows down from there.
Yeah, right? Just right in the underbust.
Okay. Yeah. Or, or titties.
Yes.
I tried to think of some other word to use and my brain was like, nah, just say it.
Just say
I'm trying to use regular terminology. You don't have to.
You do that. We're the goobers. Sort of our whole vibe.
Oh my goodness.
That's why I agreed to be on here. So the Romantic era, we're going into that. It's, again, historically from 1798 to 1837. But whenever I'm mentioning it and when I'm saying this was the Romantic era, I'm thinking 1820 to 37. Like, okay, that's what I'm talking about here.
Fashion-wise, it's like the following the Regency era, it evolved into more of this Romantic style, even though the overarching era kind of covers further back than that.
Precisely.
But for fashion, we're talking about after 1820.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We see a lot of fuller skirts going into the Victorian era, so it had to have happened. We're going to talk about the 20s specifically. Fuller skirts were starting to become a thing, and the waistline was slowly going down. So it's the 1820s was the transition period between the very Gretchen style Regency era and then the very full skirts of the 30s, the absolute meme that is known as 1830s fashion. Either you love 1830s fashion or you hate it. I love it because it's funny.
I'm just loving these enormous poofy sleeves.
They're amazing. And we're going to be talking about them too. Because sleeves of the 30s was just wild. We could see the skirt slowly getting bigger into the 20s and into the 30s. It's a lot bigger than you would see in the 20s. Mm-hmm. The shape of the gown in the 30s, as well as in the 40s, would be structured by a corded petticoat. I made one. I post about it a lot because it took me hours, but it's literally just cording going around a petticoat around and around and around again to give that structure because it was starched.
Okay, cool.
And also 30s hair, insane. Because it was at the top of the head and would be going a little bit over, and people would put feathers in it and have these like weird little designs in 1830s hair. I suggest everyone look up 1830s hairstyles because it's just like if you want to laugh, just look at 1830s hairstyles.
Leela, have you seen the show Gentleman Jack on HBO?
I haven't because I don't have HBO, but like seen those. I've seen the fashion and it's so good.
These plates that you're showing us in this document here, I'm like, that is like exactly what is on screen in that show.
They did the research, which is amazing.
I'll send you my brother-in-law's login. So you can watch it too.
I've seen pictures of this costuming and stuff because I go through a lot of historical fashion and Pinterest and stuff, and it just floods me with all this amazing outfits, and I love it so much.
Awesome.
If anybody else wants Piper's brother-in-law's HBO login, just email us.
Generously sharing it for anybody.
It's not like he's going to listen.
No, Tommy wouldn't care.
Name drop and everything too.
Oh my goodness, sorry.
So I'm sure Lillian knows this too. Victoria became queen in 1837. Her kind of style made an impression on what you'd be seeing in the 40s. 1830s fashion and 1840s fashion are very different because when you see the 40s fashion compared to the 30s, it's very plain. It has a little bit of a wider skirt and the bodice is lower on the waist. That was because of Victoria. She didn't really like a over-the-top kind of glamorous look. And the idea of the Victorian woman became very demure and modest and completely different from the romantic over-the-top kind of look. So I'm not going to be going into every decade because hours.
Yes.
We're just going to be talking about the 40s because that's the latest that we're going to be going with that. And Jane Eyre was published in 47. Mm-hmm. So...
cool. I was going to say, looking at these plates as well, these look more like the Jane Eyre dresses that we typically see in movies.
But we're going to be talking about that because actually when we're going to do 83, 2006, and 2011, that's chronological order for when they came out, but it's also chronological order for each decade they take place in.
Oh wow.
Cool. I like it.
It's going to be really fun.
I also love this little drawing here in the corner. The one lady is like not having it with that other woman with the shawl. It looks like she's like, why are you staring at me?
Which page are you on? Or four?
Yeah,
early Victorian era page, the little drawing next to the gentleman. 80s and 50s hairstyles.
Oh my god.
Oh. Yes. I'm gonna be posting these fashion plates as well.
Yeah, people go. Yeah, so you can look at all those fashion plates there. It's gonna take a while to actually edit all of these, so I don't think I'm gonna get all of them in. But if you listen to this on YouTube, we'll also have the fashion plates up on YouTube as well as on Patreon. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm curious about, because we've talked a lot about the ladies' outfits, and I notice you also have the gentlemen's here. Mm-hmm. These guys have really snatched waists.
that was a big thing in like the 20s. People always talk about women's corsets and stuff like that. Men wore corsets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, and you probably know more than me, I heard once that from like a tour at an art museum that I was at, but apparently wasn't it also really common that little boys would wear corsets until a certain age as well? Because it was about like making you have good posture.
I've seen things of little girls wearing corsets and stuff like that, just to, not only for posture, but to prepare them for actually when they're going to be wearing corsets. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen little boys wearing corsets, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. I just remember there was a painting of this beautiful lady and what looked like a cute little girl next to her. And the person was like, that's her son. And was like, oh, rad. Nice.
And a cute little girl next to her.
So yeah. either this is a fun historical fact, or we're calling out that docent for lying to Piper.
I think it's right. I'll have to find the facts.
Again, in the 40s, the Victorian corset became a thing. So they had the signature like hourglass figure that we're looking at that went throughout the Victorian era into the 1900s. But the evolution of the corset is a whole different thing. So I'm just going to leave that there. So men's fashion used colors as well in patterns for pants. Black wasn't just all they wore, contrary to popular belief. And something about the 40s, which was popular, is that their pants kind of tied down or had a loop underneath their shoes, which were called Cossacks. So we're going to see that.
Nice.
Because it's, I'm not going to say which adaptation, just to let that simmer.
Nice. I would imagine that would keep the pants extremely taut. Like there wouldn't be any bagginess. It would be very tight, kind of.
They were straight legged, mm-hmm. but it was kind of so they didn't ride up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like in their boots, I imagine.
Actually, boots weren't the only thing that men wore as well. You could see in the men's fashion plate and stuff, they're not wearing boots. Boots were worn for a specific purpose.
They're all in heels.
Yeah, we've cute, over-gendered.
We've over-gendered all of our fashion stuff and we're projecting it on the past. I fully have a mental breakdown on the podcast. You guys go, well, we're going to have to leave Lillian in her attic.
It's like, all right, that's enough. She's getting overworked.
So we're going to go. I didn't know what to say to that.
Just lean into me being crazy. That's the
thing. Usually I'm the insane one, so I don't know what to do.
We can't have our guests be insane on the podcast, too. It won't be a podcast.
It'll just be a psych ward. And I am not ready to manage all of you inmates, so continue.
What's next? Tell me more.
Underwear. Let's talk about underwear.
Yay! Underwear!
Undies!
Again, underwear also had a bit of an evolution throughout from the Regency into the Victorian era, like I said about the corset and everything like that. But we also have the Regency corset, which again, you know how I said the Empire waistline was a thing, so the waist wasn't really a big thing. Sometimes they would have a bit of a short corset that just focused on support instead of the waist, like you could see right here. That is a Regency corset.
Oh, cool.
But they also would wear kind of longer versions of that just for the sake of more support and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Going into the Romantic era, we have kind of the same thing, but it's just still longer. And we don't really see any more of the Regency corset because the waistline is starting to get lower, not smaller. Going into the Victorian era, that's when the Victorian corset became a thing. And there's a difference between that and the Romantic era. And here's my little soapbox that I'm going to stand on
Thank
for a second.
You.
People need to wear the right underwear when it comes to period dramas and period costume. If you do not have the right underwear, it's all going to look wrong. Mm-hmm. You need a good foundational basis. And so if you don't have the right corset, you don't have the right petticoat and stuff like that, it's not going to work whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask real quick, do you have, and it doesn't have to be Jane Eyre related, do you have a movie or a show where you've seen it and you can tell they've got the right undies on?
I feel like a creep whenever I'm like watching some stuff and then it just shows like a woman in her dressing down into her corset, because I get like really excited about corsets, but I feel like I'm getting excited that this woman is in her underwear and yeah. I'm like, wait, but no, I just love corsets too much.
That's incredible.
I'm not a creep, I swear.
And if you are, who cares?
I do.
I care. Okay, well, we don't, because we're notably creeps. Anyway, I have so many questions about these corsets, because I know Piper knows more about this than I do.
Ask away, because I love corsets so much.
Great. So the Regency one, like, because some of you I know are listening to this, it looks almost like a little bralette, like it with strings. So it's got like some structure, but like it honestly doesn't look that different than a bra. Where the romantic one, I can see what you're talking about with the waist going a little bit lower and flaring out a little bit. And then the Victorian one is the only one that has separate little boob spots. Is that a thing that's true of all of them, or is it really just?
No, the Romantic and Regency would have little like, I don't want to like say what you said. Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to think of like
separate cups.
I'm trying to think of some like terminology, but yeah, there would be bust support like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, so I know you guys alluded to this at the beginning, but since we're really looking at corsets now, corsets have a bad rap. It's the idea that like women's organs would move around and be in different spots. They'd be super tight so they couldn't breathe. And Elizabeth in Pirates of the Caribbean did do that fall that one time.
Those stays are so nice. They're so pretty. And the fact that they did them so dirty like that, like
So it really is like they wouldn't tie them too tight. They would just tie them tight enough. Because the other one is Gone with the Wind that they did. Yeah. Corsets real dirty.
Mm-hmm. So basically, tight lacing would be done by the upper classes and was very frowned upon. Okay. If you had nothing to do all day, then they would tight lace just to look good. But if you were a working class woman, and the majority of women in the Victorian era were working class.
So someone like Jane would definitely not be tight lacing because she would be working.
Definitely not.
But would someone like Blanche be tight lacing?
We're going to be talking about Blanche a lot, and she would be tight lacing.
Okay.
If she wanted to.
Yeah.
She could tight lace.
Okay. And was the other thing, too, is like at this time, it wasn't it was like having those curves really mattered, but how small you were. My understanding is that wasn't necessarily as important to be teeny tiny little skinny girl. Or am I wrong?
So the way it was more about the shape of it. You wanted that hourglass figure not only – all right, here's another thing. You wanted the hourglass figure not only to like to look good because it wasn't just about looking good. So you can have not only that support for the bust but also for your petticoats. You're wearing a bunch of petticoats and what they do is distribute the weight around your hips. Mm-hmm. When I wear my corded petticoat and other petticoats and stuff like that and I wear it without a corset, it's not going to – not only is it not going to look right, it's not going to feel right. Mm-hmm. When you wear it with the corset, you have that weight distributed so you can move around a lot easier.
Huh. Yeah. I've heard that before too, that it's like kind of like when you've got pounds of fabric that you're wearing in your outfit, it kind of provides structure to like balance out the weight.
And the way that a corded petticoat would work is that you have it starched. And they would do that with cornstarch. My petticoat got very heavy after that, not only with the cording, but with the cornstarch. So when I put it on, the weight was distributed, it actually did not feel as bad.
Cool.
I love it.
And there's another misconception that it would just be skin on corset, like you would just wear the corset with nothing underneath that. That is completely incorrect. Mm-hmm. You would be wearing something called a chemise under your corset. It would be linen. Mm-hmm. Mine are cotton, but it doesn't really matter as long as it's a natural fiber. It's usually linen, though. And you would wear that underneath your corset because that would catch all the sweat and you could just get rid of it. And it wouldn't just be on your corset because if you wore just nothing under your corset, it'd be so uncomfortable.
And it would get real stinky, which I've literally never thought of until just now when you said that.
It would get so stinky. Mm-hmm.
One example I can think of seeing someone have that underneath a corset in a movie is one of my all-time favorites, Lincoln. Have you ever seen Lincoln?
I think I've seen like the first 10 minutes, but something suddenly happened, so I had to stop watching it.
It's like 3 hours long, so no worries. But there's a lot of really cute domestic moments between Abe Lincoln and his wife, Mary Todd. And there's a scene where he's helping her like get undressed from this big gown from this ball that they've been at. And you see the like big kind of t-shirt that she's wearing underneath the corset.
And it would have like the crinoline underneath that and everything like that. So
yeah. Cool.
We're not going to be talking about crinolines because we're only going up to the 40s, but we're going to see the corded petticoat at one point. And for men, you would also have a shirt. That's basically what it is. It's just a shirt going down to like mid-calf. And that's basically what they would wear as their underwear as well as sleepwear. So the chemise could...
Sorry. So they would tuck that right into their little pants and they wouldn't have... They'd be like just airing that out. And then also the shirt is there? Or would they have
pretty
a little
much just tuck it in. No. Just tuck it into your pants. Sometimes when we wear nightgowns instead of the chemise.
Is there anything else on the context we need before we go into the 83?
I was just about to go into that.
Oh my God, thank you.
So Bronte never explicitly states when the book takes place. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a bunch of theories on the internet, and you have to bring in historical context with everything because of France, when Rochester was in France for that one time. Would it be through the Napoleonic Wars? It would not. So, and there's also the addition of 10 years in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So the best theory I'll go with, and this is what I follow as well, is that it takes place 10 years before the publishing of the book, so 1837. I also kind of wanted to take place in 1837 because that would mean that Jane and Queen Victoria would be the same age.
Cute.
They would both be born in 1819 then. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, Rochester would be born in 1799. I don't want to play this game anymore.
Love it.
That's incredible.
But he would totally be the kind of person to make those stupid 90s kid jokes.
Yes. First of all, I make those stupid 90s kids jokes. I'm having a 90s themed birthday party.
Oh my God.
We'll and never Piper, be full
I have
adults.
Some. I have some big news for you. It's the 1790s. It's about Rochester. That's the twist.
Yes,
only 1790s kids remember the Napoleonic Wars, right? All yeah. right,
Jesus.
Yes.
And Jane's incredible. Like, "Do you want me to lead you outside or not? Are we going to go or not?"
Incredible.
So 1837, and we also need to address that costuming relies on a lot of different factors. For one thing, we need to understand the class and society of the character being dressed. Are they upper, middle, or lower class? They would obviously have a difference in the way that they dress. And the sewing machine didn't come into widespread use until around the 50s, meaning that hand-sewn clothes would be all that they wore, and they would be expensive. There's also the character's personality. Are they, like, outgoing? Are they more reserved? What kind of ways would they dress in? And Book Jane has three dresses: a black wool gown, a black silk gown, which is the only good one she had besides the gray Lowood one. So again, she's working class. She doesn't really have this need for a million gowns because she's just trying to do her job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be focusing mainly on Jane and Rochester, obviously, but people like Blanche and the rich guests because she represents the most in-style fashion there was. I'm not going to be mentioning St. John because not only do I want to throw bricks at him, but mm-hmm. I don't know if his outfits represent his job in some way. And I'm in no way qualified to talk about the Christian church.
Like, okay.
That's out of my reach.
Sounds good.
We'll give you that pass.
Anytime we don't have to talk about St. John, it's a good day. So yeah. I'm good.
It's amazing. So costuming really is important because not only does the accurate portrayal and characterization of everyone in the book rely on costuming, but what really relies on it is the accurate portrayal of a time and place in history, like how people lived and looked, because that's essentially what classic literature is, an extension of history. Mm-hmm. So whether Charlotte Bronte wanted Jane Eyre to set in her time or not, it's an insight of the lives of the people in the past, whether it's realistic or not. We need to see how these people live.
Yeah.
Are we ready for 1983?
I am so ready for it.
All right.
We're on the
Jane Eyre, 1983, starring Celia Clark and Timmy D, the one and only. So the costume designer was Jill Hardy. She worked with All Creatures Great and Small, 1978, and A Very Peculiar Practice, 1986. I have not seen either of them. Just on site, I could tell this was the 1820s, which is a really good thing, because that means they did the research. So like I said before, the decade was a transition period between the very Gretchen-style Regency era and the meme that is 1830s. So she has a high bodice, meaning it's starting to lower, but it's not yet to the waist. Her in her green gown and Rochester sitting with her. So her sleeves, I love her sleeves. They're showing what's going to become a leg of mutton sleeve, which were very popular in the 30s.
I also just love that term.
Do you want to know why it's called that?
Yes, please.
Because it looks like a leg of lamb.
Yes.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Sometimes when I watch period dramas and stuff, I kind of like lock into what people are wearing and not focus on anything that's going on. So I'm going to be mentioning this kind of stuff that like maybe lock in on everything. And these costumes like really got me because I really like it.
Yeah.
The green gown with her and him in that room together. That's one of my favorites. I love
the
little.
Is that green?
See, it's like I would say like a dark. I mean, it looks to me kind of like a dark gray, like black almost. But I think it's just the way the color comes through.
Yeah, I think you guys, I totally trust you guys. I would have guessed, I always thought that was a black dress, but I totally believe you that it's green.
I love the details around sort of what looks like the V-neck style of that kind of, would you call that pleating? The way it's, yeah, I love that.
They were popular. That was popular in the 20s as well. So again, research is being done.
Theory that Lillian and I have discussed a lot, especially since the 2011 movie, is the idea that Jane, if she had the money, would have been always a fashionable person. At least it seems that way. Do you have any thoughts about that?
That is a very good theory.
Yeah. And obviously it could just simply be costume designers are like, I don't want to make just a drab, ugly governess dress. I'm going to add a little bit of flair to this just for me. So maybe that's it too.
Also, if I suddenly got a windfall of the kind of money that Jane does, I would also be like, get me a stylist. We're looking good now.
So I like what he's wearing. He's got the high collar and the waistcoat and the jacket. That matches the 20s pretty well. I like his cravat that fits, and he's wearing black for evening wear. I think this takes place in the evening. Piper is the expert.
Yes. Well, so this scene would be when it's his first time hanging out with all of them in the drawing room. He's reclined on that chair and he is asking her to bring over the stuff, which is traditionally, like kind of an evening fireplace thing. They're serving afternoon tea or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. After it's after dinner, isn't it? Like after dinner, he meets her in the drawing room and yells at her about that time she was near his horse.
Yeah. How dare she?
God forbid. So this is kind of nitpicky, but a clean shaven face on a man didn't come into fashion until the end of the 80s and early 90s. Mm. But that's like a little bit nitpicky, I guess.
So what do you think? He should like have a full beard or just like a mustache? Oh,
no. Some nice chops maybe. I don't know.
Oh, the chops. Yeah.
Yes. Incredible. Oh, I'm going to fix this picture and I'm going to put it on Instagram.
No. Don't ruin him. He's too pretty.
He's going to look more historically accurate when I'm done with him, Piper.
I want you to just like open up MS Paint and then just like scribble some lines on his face.
I'm going to do it in Canva, but
amazing.
I can't wait. So looking forward to this, but dreading it at the same time.
I know. That's sort of the vibe I like to give off with our Instagram.
So good.
Excited and afraid.
So the middle part on her hair was pretty fashionable, and as were curls on her bangs and the sides. But I doubt she would take a lot of care in giving herself curls, though, because like she doesn't really have a lady's maid, and she's just trying to do her job. Mm-hmm. So this is a plainer version of that, and I'm not really mad about it.
So the hairstyle that she has is like the hairstyle I think of for Jane Eyre, like the swoopy, kind of tucked up into a very practical bun. Would that be what a working woman would wear at that time?
I would assume, well, it depends on the time period that you're looking at, because like I said before, hair would be pretty high and around the 20s and 30s, but somewhat lower and around the 40s and 50s and 60s. Okay. So depending on what you're looking at, she would probably have it in a bun like that.
Okay.
But depends on where that bun would sit on her head.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we also have her blue gown, and it's, like I said before, it has a high bodice, a fuller skirt. It's definitely the early to mid-20s. Mm-hmm. If I had to put a year on any of this, I would say 25, just by looking at the rich guests as well. It's pretty all right for 25, and we need to understand that the waistline would be a little bit lower in 25, but it would be perfectly acceptable for her to have something that's a little bit out of style.
That makes sense. The next person I think we're going to talk about is Blanche. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense that like Blanche seems like the kind of person who would get new dresses immediately as soon as the new thing comes out.
Mm-hmm. And so she has the money for it.
Yeah, it would make sense that Jane's got a few years older in her clothes.
Yeah, she also just came from, like, a sad little school where no one had any fashion, so, like, how would she know what's hot? Yeah.
She's not getting the latest magazines, which is sad.
Which is shocking to me that Broccoli doesn't want to get her the latest magazines. Come on.
Oh, and speaking of Broccoli, I forgot to mention, his daughters, when they show up at Lowood and everything, and they're dressed in, like, the latest styles and everything, they are most certainly wearing curls. Mm-hmm. So him cutting off that one girl's curls, that makes it even worse.
No, he's the absolute worst. So yes.
That's all we're gonna be saying about Broccoli right now.
Yes, thank you.
Goodbye. Or anymore.
So we see the introduction of Blanche, and her bodice is lower than Jane's, but it's still good for the 20s. It's great, like 25 was like I was saying. So her clothes are a lot more in style, like I said before. And when she's with Rochester, his outfit's pretty good. It's a dress coat.
So we're looking at her riding outfit. If you know her riding outfit from the 83, it's a great outfit.
It's a very great outfit.
Would they have outfits like that, like specifically for riding? And would they wear top hats? Yeah. Would the ladies wear top hats when riding? Because they always do that and I love it.
Great.
Yeah, they would have specific outfits for riding, both men and women, especially if you're in the upper class. Because the way that the riding style would work for women is it's a very masculine style. That's what she's adopting right here. It's a pretty masculine style compared to everything else that she's wearing.
The top hats are so cute. Every time I watch a period drama, like the costumes is one of the big reasons why I watch them, because they're so pretty. And if I see a top hat or I see like the multi-layered kind of cloak, riding cloak sort of a thing, I'm always like, I wish this would come back into fashion. But if anybody does it now, they just look like a weirdo. It's like, when will it be organically cycled back so it's not weird?
The daily struggle of a historical costumer.
Exactly.
I'm just going to start wearing top hats, just like that picture of me as a child wearing a bonnet. With cute. Just normal clothes, I'm just going to start wearing top hats and get a horse to ride around doing that. I live in a small town. People don't know who I am. I think it's fun if I get a really eccentric whole vibe going and then move.
Great. Do it.
Thank you.
But you have to get a little top hat for Ruth as well. So you
That's true.
Both wear your top hats when you're out walking your dog.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You can match. That'd be amazing. So we're going on some more of the guests. This one woman, I have a fashion plate next to her picture, right near it. Mm-hmm. It matches what I'm looking at in that fashion plate. So that's a great sign as well. Like that's so the research cool. was done.
Yeah.
And speaking of that fashion plate, why aren't they doing cooler hats in these adaption? Because that's a wild hat. That's the craziest. Bonnets? It's a bonnet. It looks like a bonnet, but it looks like a bonnet that like, it looks like someone took a pillow with a tassel on it and then put it on their head.
A turban for women would be very popular in the Regency era, but I don't know of it coming into fashion around the 20s. So I guess it's just a hat.
Okay. Cool. It's a very good hat. We're going to put this on our Instagram. It's a very good hat, guys.
But yeah, I like this woman's curls. I like her sleeves and general outfit. It matches the 20s. Like, I really like this costuming.
I was going to say, if you literally just look at her left arm and then look at the left arm in the drawing, it's like identical. Yeah, it's really cool.
I love when people do the research. Oh my God. All right. Yeah. So the other scene where Jane goes back to Gateshead, she comes back and then she just meets Rochester chilling in the middle of the woods, like as a person does. He's wearing a frock coat and breeches with boots. Those are country sportswear garments and appropriate for him going out and just, I guess, chilling in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
So that needs to be addressed, that there's different outfits for men as well. He would be wearing boots if he's going to do something active, and breeches as well.
Yeah. I also really like that, like, I haven't, because I don't pick up on the fashion stuff quite as much other than the bonnets. But like, I've never noticed that Rochester in the 83 wears a ton of different outfits, which he would to Jane's like 3.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I love it when people do that.
Ooh, Layla, I have a question.
Yes.
I wonder if you have an answer to this. So the brown jacket that he's wearing in that scene where he's in the meadow, it's one of my favorite styles where it does the thing where the top of the lapels are black and then the bottom of the lapels are not black. Like he's got like brown lapels on the bottom that match the rest of the suit, but the top part is black. Does that thing have a name?
I don't think so. I think that's just like a little construction thing, like part of the design.
Okay. Just wanted to know. Whenever I draw people in this time period, I'm always like, got to make that top part the black color because it looks so nice.
It's a nice contrast. I like it. And I usually, onto the wedding, her wedding gown is white, which is perfectly fine. See,
this is 1820, though, that wouldn't have been true.
I was waiting for that
question. Oh, thank you.
So,
it's the only thing I know about fashion.
I was waiting for this. So Victoria did start the trend of the white wedding gown. That is a true thing that happened. However, she got it from somewhere. And because she was the queen, she would unofficially become the style icon of the entire country. But before that, wearing white to their wedding was somewhat popular for the royalty and upper classes and stuff. Other colors would have been used, like pink or yellow and stuff. It just, there wasn't an official color yet. White was just one of them. So knowing Rochester, how he would want to get like her the best of everything, it'd be perfectly acceptable if she would have a white wedding gown. But the thing is, the white wedding gown is also so ingrained into our brains that, like, when you watch a period drama and you see a wedding, you need to have a white wedding dress, or else you're not going to, like, pick up that it's a wedding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So especially when there's no one's there and it's a really sad three people in a chapel having the saddest wedding, like it is in the 83.
So the upper class did do it, and you can find some white wedding gowns before when she was married to Albert. So this isn't historically inaccurate.
Nice.
Cool.
What about his blue suit?
I was going to go into that. So, so he is wearing multiple waistcoats, as you pointed out before, which is historically accurate as well. Men would wear multiple waistcoats at this time to kind of give off the desired silhouette of, like, a larger chest, broader shoulders. So him wearing multiple waistcoats isn't that bad of a choice. And the baby blue for the coat, I haven't seen anything that resembles that.
Maybe a bit of 80s influence.
Yeah. We're looking at the picture where Rochester looks absolutely insane. But not as crazy as his wife. His waistcoat,
he's totally sane, and she needs to be in an attic. And that's the only thing that anybody needs to know about this couple.
I'm sorry, what wife? He's not married.
That's a great point. At this point, he is not married, and he looks fine, and everything's fine.
Just don't go in the attic.
As he actively screams at Jane, "Don't call me married!" So, yeah, we got to believe him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't go in the attic. It's fine. His waistcoat, cravat, and collar all look good. He looks like an idiot. I'm sorry. He just looks so messed up. This is after the gypsy scene, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. This is right after he revealed, because he is a maniac immediately after that and before that and during the whole thing. But maybe we love him anyway.
But I couldn't get a good look at his outfit when he was in the costume, which I would love to have rated, but I can't.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it was just like a big blanket over his head.
Which is horrible because I want a better outfit.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
If I was Jane in that entire situation, I'd be making fun of what he's wearing.
Yes. You'd be like,
is that, like, one of my dresses? Like, what are you doing?
Give me the bonnet. Give it to me right now. You lost privileges.
Your head's too big. You're stretching it out.
I want you to go sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
What I was going for with this picture, because the 19th century wasn't all dark and drabby colors. There were patterns. There were different clothes. Mm-hmm. There were other designs. Like, he dresses like an upper class landed gentry man, which is great, which is how I want to see him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Adele.
Yes, please. She's got the wildest bonnet in this, and I love it.
So the clothing of little girls would be based off of adult dress. So having her dress up as a little lady in her little, like, ball gown and stuff is perfectly fine. Her curls are adorable and accurate. And young girls would have skirts that were a little bit shorter, which is, I think, seen in this picture. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be floor length as an older woman would be. So I've seen a lot of extant garments with these little puff sleeves that she has on, which is historically accurate then. Nice. Her bodice is still high, so it's indicative of the 20s as well. Even she's having, like, this in vogue fashion. And this scene also has Rochester in evening wear, which is great. And he has a frilled shirt front, which I like. Mm-hmm. And his jacket and pants are black, which is great for the evening. Her bonnet, it's a bit tall and high, but outfit's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bonnets on that they put on children in the 83, the bonnet to head ratio is hilarious. Child Jane has my favorite when she gets dropped off at Lowood. Her head looks like a tiny, it's like she put a full-fledged mixing bowl on top of her head. And then there's a bonnet on top of that.
In all fairness, adult Jane in this one is very tiny as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, watching this for the first time, I was like, is she just small or is Timmy D just a massive individual?
I think it's a bit of both, but.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, we've talked about this on our 83 rewatch specifically. If the only reason they cast her was her size for the size difference, we're okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. No. I was going to say, I mean, we've heard me talk about this nonstop, but in the reference photo that you have here of them at their wedding, I'm like, yeah, but isn't it great that he's like 2 feet taller than her? Like, isn't that the cutest thing ever?
Listen, I know the wedding was interrupted. I know he's already married, but he's tall.
Maybe we can just, like, roll ahead.
And with, like, you can see where he's standing, like, a couple of steps in front of her, which means he's even taller than that relative to her. He comes up to, like, his belly button.
Like, let me just pick up my little bride with my fingies and pop her into my pocket. And then we'll go okay, up to
Jane,
that attic.
Let's go on an adventure.
A little fairy.
If so he could cute. Keep Jane in his pocket, he totally would. And that's aww. Really cute. She's a aww. Little fairy he keeps in his pocket. And that's fucking cute, guys.
Adorable. I love it. Little pocket Jane.
Overall, this is pretty good costuming. Like, I'm nice. Not mad.
Yay.
Which for the BBC doing a miniseries, like we've talked about the 73 that was only 10 years before this by the same studio that I am not mad about, but that's the 70s. That's all those yeah. costumes are from 1973.
Let's move on to 2006.
The costume designer was Andrea Gaylor. She nice. Won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Costumes for a Miniseries, Movie nice. Or Special for this adaptation. And she was also nominated for a CDG Award for Outstanding Costume Design for a television movie / miniseries.
Well done.
So this one actually has a year. Nice. The miniseries takes place in 1837, but there is some inconsistencies with the timeline.
Okay.
We have Rochester flashbacks in this one, which is cool. But the thing about it is that they're wearing Bertha in general is wearing distinct Regency attire. In the end, after the marriage, Rochester says that the wedding party is, quote unquote, 15 years too late because he's dramatic. Mm-hmm. So he would have married her in 22. So there's a little bit of inconsistencies. But going on to that, we also see Celine in a flashback. She's also wearing Regency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a little bit off. But
take I back guess, that woman's award. She didn't yeah. do enough research.
She doesn't deserve the Emmy.
I really don't want to roast this one because people really like this and it has awards. I'm just saying the facts. Don't go after me.
Well,
please.
And if it's just the flashbacks that are wrong, I'll give them a little leeway on that. Oh, your face. It's not just the flashbacks. Guys, buckle up.
So let's continue, shall we?
I think you're like, okay, so this woman won a lot of awards for these costumes.
I don't want to say anything.
Did she do her job right, though? We'll see.
So what I like about this is that Jane's clothes go from dark to lighter as the story progresses, mm-hmm. which you pointed out as well. Like in the end, she's wearing white and stuff, which is really cute. So we're looking at Jane's gown that she wears with the little red neck scarf, which mm-hmm. I think is adorable. Mm-hmm. It has lower shoulders and a bit of a dropped bodice that accentuate a little bit of an hourglass figure, mm-hmm. which you would see in the 40s. The sleeves on the gown... The sleeves on the gown with the necktie are called manchette sleeves, and they somewhat resemble the pagoda sleeves that would eventually become popular in the 50s and 60s, because the pagoda sleeves are absolutely massive, and they start around the elbow, but these just flare out a little bit.
Cool.
These are smaller, though.
Yeah.
One of the things, as you're nitpicking on this, which I love...
I really don't want to get like...
So this is sort of like... I was... Because this was something that I was thinking about, because I would also be like, whatever, like, who cares? It's the 30s, it's the 40s. Like, it doesn't really, it's 18, whatever. They did it. But it is like, if somebody was making a movie now that was supposed to be taking place in the 80s and they were wearing very clearly 60s or 70s fashion, we would all have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're wearing early 2000s stuff and something that that's going to take place now, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. It just looks bizarre. And if we did flashbacks now that was supposed to take place in the 80s, they would be wearing more 80s style clothing. They wouldn't be wearing just the same clothes that they're wearing or something from the 20s, right? Like, that would be wild. Mm-hmm. So I do, like, I was thinking about that before this and, like, totally fair. So let's nitpick more. I'm so excited. Let's start beef with the internet.
Oh god, I don't want people to come for me.
Dude, we'll
if people
it,
come
okay.
for you, we'll show up and we'll be like, no, bad.
Stop it.
You be sweet to our guests or you're not invited back.
Be sweet, everybody. We'll spray them all off with a little water gun. Mm-hmm. Just like they're nice, a bunch like of a bad cat. Cats. Yes. Because mm-hmm. we know one of our listeners is a raccoon. The others are probably just cats.
Yeah, that nice. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have a raccoon on your side. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Bonnie Watch... Jane's red bonnet throughout the whole thing. I don't have a picture of it, but it has that little gathering on the back. It looks a little bit more like a Regency bonnet, which I'm not mad about because, like, if she was living in Lowood for her entire life, she would probably just pick up an old bonnet that she would find.
Yeah.
So now we're on this picture of Jane and Rochester together. It has that kind of 40s cut, which goes a little bit towards like a V. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the waist is a little high, resembling the 30s.
Hmm.
So like...
Lady can't make up her mind.
No,
come
it's
on,
like...
guys. Let's get that, I think, Emmy. Just going, let's go into break that into her house.
I think it's just going into that transition period between like the 30s and 40s and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about the cut of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it is what it is.
How about him? How's he doing?
I was going to go a little bit more into Jane.
Oh, thank you. No, no, no. Go more into Jane, and then we'll talk about Toby here.
So her larger sleeves on the bottom become more frequent during the 30s, like the late 30s. Mm-hmm. So her sleeves are fine. Okay. It doesn't really bother me that much. Mm-hmm. For him, he's wearing what's called a frock coat that's evenly cut around the bottom, whereas something like a dress coat, where we saw earlier, that'd be more formal. He also wears a lot of boots and breeches in this one. That's just like his normal style. It's not historically accurate. I mean, inaccurate. It's not historically inaccurate. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Okay.
It's just like country sportswear that he wears a lot.
So he's out here in his Adidas and his Nike. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
The cut of his coat, it doesn't really have much of a flare. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, because that would be more around the 30s, like mid-30s. It's coming into more of a straight kind of look that you'd see in the 40s. I like his waistcoat. I like his cravat. He still has that high collar, which is nice. It's not as high as you would see in the 20s, but it's not all the way down.
He's just out here wearing his Crocs around the pool with his family. It's chill. Get off his back.
Do we think... I feel like Rochester would be very into fashion and like clothes and buy really expensive clothes. Do we think he would do that?
I think it depends on the kind of adaptation you're watching, because they characterize him different. If we're talking book, maybe.
I feel like book Rochester would have a lot of feelings about clothes.
I think so too, if only given just how, like, I think of when they're walking in the garden together for one of the first times, and he's like being so dramatic with his pipe and everything. I feel like this is definitely a man who would wear a very over the top outfit so he can dramatically pose on a little stone wall as he smokes his pipe to impress his governess.
Cause he's a little theater boy. We've talked about it.
He is a theater boy. Yes.
Oh,
the thing about big, big poofy sleeves is that you'd see that around like mid-30s or an early 30s.
When the time comes that Lily and I rewatch this movie, now all I'm going to be thinking about it is, I'm like, who cares about the romance? They just keep mixing everything up. What are they doing with the fashion over here?
It's pretty embarrassing for them.
Layla said it's wrong, and that's all I can see now.
Wait, no.
And well, people who like this adaption are bad people, is what we're saying.
You all suck.
I gotta go.
Remember, Leela said that whatever we say is true at the beginning of this with fashion. So.
Oh, no. I forgot I said that.
You shouldn't give us that much power at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go into Blanche.
Yes. This Blanche, her fashion, I love, and I really hope that it's accurate. Let's find out.
Double thumbs up. All right. So her hair is distinctly 40s. Because it's not as high as you would see in that. You see the one fashion plate that's next to it that resembles what she's wearing. It's not high. Which I guess is fine. Her neckline is a little bit past the shoulders. It resembles the fashion plate next to it. And this gown looks straight out of the 1830s. It has the massive sleeves that we're known for. But the plate that's next to it is from 34. So this Blanche is just pretty into vintage, I guess, which is fine, I guess, because more people need to be thrifting. But at the same time,
incredible.
This is Blanche we're talking about.
She would never admit that she got her dress at Ragstock.
Oh, sure. I didn't get from Goodwill. I don't know what you're talking about.
And she's like, shut up. You didn't see me there last Wednesday. I had my sunglasses and hat on.
And a massive bonnet to cover everything.
Yeah.
Again, in this other picture that she has, her hair looks 40s and her sleeves look more mid-30s.
I hate when your hair and sleeves clash. It's so embarrassing.
Can I just say I love the sleeves, though?
Yeah.
Like the construction of her blue gown is just, like, amazing. Mm. I can see the darts and everything. The waistline is actually a bit higher, which is fine for the 30s. It's not as low as it would be in the 40s, which I like it.
Yeah. The one with the white puffy sleeves, where she's like holding a book, that she looks like a fairy tale princess, like a she Glinda looks like Cinderella
with the blue one.
Yeah. Which what's blue? Which one's blue?
The top one.
The top one.
Oh, that looks kind of grayish to me. But yeah.
I guess cool. Basically what this podcast episode is going to be is us trying to identify colors that you can't see because you're listening to a podcast.
We're like, wait, is it purple? It's like, and it's green. What's wrong with you?
It's also me gesturing a lot and then quickly remembering people can't see me. So the next one I have riding outfits from the 40s. And you could see the women's outfits have a more masculine look, which is fine. Mm-hmm. They can be a little bit bright, and Blanche's riding outfit, the purple one, is not that bad. It's just more 40s.
Yeah.
Which, for her in 1837, I guess it would be fine.
Because she can see the future.
I guess. I'm trying to, like, cover this as much as I possibly can.
Well, and I...
like, well...
And I almost wonder, like... when I'm thinking about it, like, to cut some slack for the costume designer, because I agree with you that, like, it matters that they're accurate because it matters to the storytelling. If you're trying to tell a fashion story that somebody is more ahead in fashion versus somebody else, and we're talking about over 100 years ago, I can understand how you would be like, I'm going to pull from this decade for Jane and from this decade for Blanche so that they have distinctly different fashion.
Yeah. And just... I agree with you. I just don't want people to hate me.
You're like, I agree.
I completely
with you,
agree.
Wrong.
And I was gonna say it's Jane having the manchette sleeve that I noticed before that was popular to the 40s, and then Blanche just wearing something that's like distinctly mid 30s. It's like opposite.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
But it's still the 30s. Like, they're over the top. They're insane, and these kinds of look plain in comparison. Which is kind of like a missed opportunity because Blanche would just be over the top with everything, knowing her.
Yeah.
God,
so I just keep thinking about Gentleman Jack, and I've been trying to get Lillian to watch it too.
I know! So. I was like, when is this going to turn? I will watch it, I promise!
Okay, you better.
She knew something was going to happen.
Yeah. So. Mm.
And for the neckline and stuff, wider necklines would be used for day wear as well. So they could have an over-the-shoulder like neckline thing. So if I saw this for the first time, it wouldn't, like, scream 30s to me. I guess I could, like, pinpoint it just by looking at the sleeves and, like, the bodice, how short it is, and the gown. But it's not, like, over-the-top 30s to me. And her hair is, which is 40s, is, like, a little bit throwing me off as well.
Let's move past her. She's too upsetting.
Yeah, we're moving away from her.
Moving on. How about some dudes?
Let's talk about why doesn't Toby have a snatched waist?
Yeah, why is he not leaning like these little dandies against the fireplace?
Come after Toby Stevens. The Jane Eyre community is going to be fine with it.
Yeah. Daddy Stevens can take it. Throw it. Give him what you got.
No, I don't like making fun of people.
Oh, she's too sweet. We're too roasty toasty for her. Okay, you're doing great.
So having a snatched waist, as you said, that was more popular around like the 30s or 20s when men would be wearing corsets. Okay. Now it's like not really that big of a deal. His evening wear is accurate for the 40s.
Okay. Cool.
Nice. I like it. I like it a lot.
Tell me about this orange jacket. I know I'm probably skipping ahead a little bit, but God. I have got to hear more about it.
I am so excited to talk about this. I do not like it.
Oh! Tell us why. Because he stole it from a chocolate factory?
It might be my intense hatred for the color orange.
Okay.
Like, I have a deep-rooted hatred
for
the color
orange. I'm just going to take off my jacket really quick.
Oh, my God.
I'm fully wearing an orange shirt. It's orange and pink.
There you go. You're safe.
I put two pictures of this jacket just to make you like know that I want to talk about this. Jeez. It was a choice. It was such a choice. So like I said before, the gentry would have like outfits specifically for riding. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he has an outfit for that is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But usually the color would be like black, brown, maybe like a dark green, a dark red. I don't know why neon orange is the chosen.
I'm going to do a secret defense for our soon-to-be Emmy-stolen costume designer. Which is Blanche and Rochester both have incredibly bright riding costumes, and we often see them from a great distance. So I think that my theory is that's why, is so that they could shoot from really far away and we could still see who it was.
And maybe that's actually a good point.
Yeah, maybe she designed Blanche first with the purple, and then she's like, well, I guess he'll just be orange to be kind of like offsetting that. So, because when you have this girl over that you're trying to make your governess think you're wooing the other one, you have to obviously base your outfits around her so you can be with the whole cute matchy-matchy.
I know, but like the fact that... No, but what I was also thinking, it makes perfectly good sense, but dark red was also a color that could have been used. Mm-hmm. So if he wore dark red, he could have been matching Jane. And
again, well, this is one of the reasons that we're stealing your Emmy, ma'am.
Yeah. We took it away from you. Break into your house and take it back.
It's not going to be me.
She was the main part of it. we were just like sort of there, and we're holding her back from stealing the rest of your belongings.
I was going to say, when we get caught by the police and we're arrested, we're like, no, it was Layla all along.
Layla did it for sure.
Thanks for coming on our show.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being here. We're not going to pin any crimes on you. We promise.
I hope I don't look too stressed. It's like the yellow as well. That's like that he's wearing with it is also funny.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like this outfit.
No,
it contrasts his dark hair so like weirdly as well.
Well, and he looks so good in the other ones. Like he looks so good in the other outfits, and it's just a lot. It's a choice, and it's not the choice I would have made.
Like the first time I watched this, I'm like, is no one gonna address this?
But dude, what are you wearing? Like, what's up?
Just Jane and him are having a tense moment. She goes, listen, I cannot take you seriously in that outfit.
Again, I could not focus. Like, this is another like instance where I zone in on what people are wearing. I couldn't hear a word that anyone was saying. I was just so locked in on what he was wearing.
Yeah, he's wearing this really insane long orange jacket with a like striped bright yellow vest.
Oh, it's like plaid. It's like a yellow plaid.
And it's a good waistcoat too. So like,
it's just a choice.
Whatever.
Let's talk about her wedding dress to get this out dresses. Of our system.
Wedding dress.
Wedding dress. I like it. It's got like the kind of like more open neckline.
Mm-hmm.
The bodice is a little bit high, which is fine for the 30s. It's not yet the 40s, which is, I guess it's on brand. She's wearing the pearl necklace, which, like, oh my god.
Yeah, we need more of that. Always talking about his Rochester clutching them pearls.
Oh my god.
Lillian, are you frozen now, or are you just thinking?
Oh, I'm just thinking. This is just how I'm also wondering, like, what about her underwear?
Yeah, what those undies like.
We're going to talk about that. I just also wanted to say the sleeves. I've seen sleeves like that on a gown from 38.
Okay.
This isn't bad.
Okay.
Let's talk about the underwear. So she's got the chemise under it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I also don't know if she's wearing petticoats under her corset, if that's a corset. Mm-hmm.
Would you wear them under or over?
You would not wear them under.
Oh my god, that's so embarrassing.
Which like confuses me. So this corset that she's wearing.
The pause said so much.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what this is. I've worked with corsets from like this time. I've worked with corsets for years. I don't know what this is.
That's incredible.
It looks like there's like something underneath with structure, and then it's just like fabric wrapped around it almost.
I was going to say that. It looks like she just like wrapped fabric around her. Okay, so romantic era corset. Let's go back into that. But a wooden busk in the front, like center front. You would have cording going around it to give that support as well. You would have straps in the front going over the shoulders to keep it in place. You would have lacing in the back. I'm hoping she has lacing, because otherwise how is she going to get this on? But just this doesn't look like that. This doesn't look like that. And it's so low on her bust. It's like,
her titties are
really
going to pop just right out.
It doesn't seem like it's supporting much, which is like... That's the purpose of a corset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if we're going to go Victorian, it still doesn't look like a Victorian corset, because you would have the front, you would have the the busk in the front. You could open it there. You would have whalebone. You would have cording as well. In some cases, you had lacing in the back. She has like gores around the bust, which are meant to give more room to support.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it's doing that.
No, because the boobs are just sitting on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is like another thing. You need to have like the right support, like what I said before, or else it's going to look a little off.
Yeah, so definitely F minus on this one. Tweet.
2011, Aunt Reed looks hot.
Oh my gosh. I am obsessed with Aunt Reed in that movie. Also, I just love that actress. So
okay. So yeah, this was also my first adaptation. And again, like I said before, I was a little baby historical costumer then. But even then I could tell, like, this is amazing costuming. Some of the best costuming I've seen in a period drama.
Nice. So do we know anything about the costume designer for this?
I was going to go into that. Okay.
Perfect. Thank
so
you.
The costume designer was Michael O'Connor, and he did an interview and he said, there's different versions of Jane Eyre, but you can always tell the period was made from hairstyles and such. We wanted to go back to the real thing and set it really when we thought it was written, especially with the cottons, textiles, and textures we used. They're all based on real designs of the time.
Cool.
He went so deep into research.
Aww.
And then another quote was that the lining, the buttons, stitching, everything was totally researched. I always say, is there a reference for that? Is that something they did? And if people say they don't know, then I say we can't do it. There's so much information from the time, there's no excuse not to have it.
Nice.
Well done, sir.
And then Cary Fukunaga, who was the director, he said the book was published in 1947 and takes place 10 years before that, but neither one of us liked the clothing from the 1830s. Fair. So we all despise Mrs. Reed, but I love her costuming in the beginning of the movie because you could see time pass. This is so distinctly 30s, and the rest of the movie is 40s, that it's like amazingly perfect, and I love it.
Ooh, yay. Awesome.
I'm now seeing the things you're talking about. Like, you can tell her sleeves are 30s and the waist is a little higher. I'm going to be a fashion expert, you guys.
You're graduating.
And her hair is like taller going over the top, and her sleeves are amazing, and I love it, and it's perfect. Okay.
This is also an example of, like, you can tell a lot about this character just by looking at her, like how finely she dresses, the fact that she has like this fur and her hair is so detailed. It's not just the swoop and the high, like it's a bunch of complicated braids as well and curls. And I love it.
And I just love it so much. Okay. So we're going to start with Jane. The silhouette's amazingly perfect. It's not too full of a skirt. It's not too flat. She has more plain design, which is popular in the 40s. Like I said before, her hair is the middle part and a little bun. And for Rochester, I'm looking at this one picture of them walking together. He's wearing cassocks. So
the pants that go under the shoes, you said?
Yeah, they loop under.
Oh, they're under the shoes. For some reason, I thought they were inside the shoes.
No, they're under, which is great.
Very nice.
I want boots like the ones he's wearing when he's standing on the stairs, if anybody knows that. They've got like a black strap. They've got like black for the most part, but brown around the top. And I would like those for myself.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Lillian, come with me to Renfest. I think I've seen those being sold at different little shops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's also wearing a frock coat in the picture of them walking together, which is, it's informal. It's daytime, which is fine.
Nice.
He's got the waistcoat, the cravat, the high collar. I love it. Let's talk about his waistcoat. In this picture where he's wearing the breeches and the boots. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that waistcoat so much.
Well, it's kind of like the one Toby had, but minus a hideous orange jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make it. Like, it's so nice.
Incredible.
And, like, this is one of the things that I, like, locked onto because, like, I just loved it so much.
Very nice.
That's so great. Yeah, I love that whole scene on the stairs. It's got his disheveled, our preferred waistcoat and a flowy shirt because you can look a little disheveled. And he rolled up the sleeves. Come on, Toby.
He also has the chops that you mentioned, too. So
yeah, his hair looks right. I don't have to Photoshop this at all.
So in that scene, I can't listen to anything anyone is saying because their costume is just so good.
Yay.
Very nice.
Jane has this one dress with the wide collar and it looks a little bit weird for the daytime, but it's fine. I loved it. I'm never going to doubt the research on this film because there's just so much brought into it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very good.
So we also see her nightgown in some scenes, like after the fire and after the Mason incident. While it wasn't unusual for a woman in the middle class to sleep in her chemise or shift, nightgowns were also in use. And she has a simple one under her wrapper or dressing gown, which is like she's trying to keep some semblance of decorum because she was caring for a man all night who was bleeding out. And and also
and never questioned anything about it and just was like, this is totally normal and fine.
Yes. And put out a fire at her boss, on her boss's bed.
Are we talking, you love Blanche? Is that what you were going to say?
No, not her. Oh. Her outfits.
Oh, okay.
I love her outfits. They're so much, they just look straight out of a fashion plate. She has multiple evening gowns, which are great. And if you could see this like kind of design that she has around the neckline, that's going a little bit off the shoulder. You know what that's called?
I don't know.
It's called a Bertha.
No!
It's called a Bertha.
That's so cool to know. It's like, it's like pleating, but like little and then like lots of layers of it. I know where
it's. Yeah, it's just the design that they would have around the neckline and stuff like that. It's kind of like the little rectangle thing. It's called the Bertha. And those were popular around the 40s. And I love it. Her curls are amazing. Her hair is amazing.
I really like, I don't know. Do they ever describe what color hair Blanche has? Because doesn't she supposed to be like kind of tall, dark, and handsome for a woman? Yep. So black hair is accurate to the book?
Yeah. Which is amazing and perfect.
Yeah.
This movie is just me going, I know I'm supposed to despise this person, but like they're dressed so well.
Yes. Which like I think that fits her character. Mm-hmm. I love her riding outfit too.
Her riding outfit is so good. It's very pretty. Again, we got that masculine hat. Look. Yeah, the top hat. Mm-hmm. Her day gown that has like that design with like the V a little bit going into the hourglass figure. It has the Bertha. It has like a longer sleeve so you know it's day gown. And it's just like the pattern matching on it is, I love it.
That is nice.
That's incredible.
Stripes are working well.
How about
stripes are tricky.
And it works, which you're right. Yeah. I think that's good. How do we feel about, are we, I know we rushed through one of the greatest fashion Blanches, but I also desperately need to talk about Jane's wedding dress.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it because I do love it.
Okay. Tell us. So
there's a long sleeve. It's a day gown, which is fine. She has the wedding bonnet, which I'm sorry, Lillian. There were wedding bonnets.
This wedding bonnet, I don't hate.
Really?
There's other wedding bodies that are terrible, but this like has the like sheer, almost veil-y style to it. I don't hate that.
And it's like, again, there's research to everything. I can't say anything about this because it's just so perfect.
Nice.
It makes me so happy. And I love the design that she has in the middle of the gown going into the lace.
So one thing, there's one of these photos here where she is like standing before a mirror and we see that she's got these little glovies. And I've noticed that on lots of Blanche's outfits is she has different kinds of gloves. Do you want to talk about gloves at all in this time period?
I know that these were popular. Well, gloves would be used in a lot of like evening wear situations.
Because, mm-hmm. And maybe this has nothing to do with like stuff in Jane Eyre times, but I feel like I've come across things before about like the significance of like higher class ladies would wear gloves to like protect their dainty little hands, but a working class woman would never wear gloves because, I don't know, she just got rough, callousy hands, and that's like a big kind of sign of like whether you work or not.
Yeah, basically how you would look at someone's hands is distinctive of their class. That's why Mary and Diana knew that Jane was a governess because her hands weren't calloused. Mm-hmm. Jane is also wearing gloves with her wedding gown and with the gowns that she has when she got rich.
Can we talk about her underwear?
Yes, let's talk about her underwear. It's great. I love it. Her petticoats are over the corset. The corset looks great. Let me try to zoom in a little bit. It's kind of like an earlier Victorian corset. So the corset looks great. We have the corded petticoat. You could see the kind of like ruffles in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I love it. She has that little chemise. It's not that like decorated, but like I don't really care because it's awesome. And she's got the multiple petticoats on to get that silhouette. Her underwear is great. I love it.
Nice. Yay. She did it.
We love her underwear. And now let's talk about the best bonnet in Jane Eyre history.
And also probably one of the best Jane outfits ever.
Yeah, her rich outfit. Mm-hmm. So this completely shows that she got a lot of money when you look at it. And you know, like the costuming and stuff, because you have that kind of like design that she has over the shoulder going into a V. Mm-hmm. That's extra fabric. Yep. She has that thing on her sleeves. That's extra fabric. So and there's more designs on it. There's more of like a kind of like complexity to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can definitely tell that she got a lot more money compared to the gowns that she would be wearing before. Mm-hmm. Her bonnet looks great. Like,
is that a historically accurate bonnet?
Bronnet. I'm not sure.
Bronnet? Bronnet. It's a Bronnet, guys. It's a Bronnet? Bronte bonnet.
You got me there.
Thank you. I definitely didn't stumble on words and then sneak my way out of there at the end. It was premeditated.
There you go.
So I'm not going to say anything about like historically accurate, not because there was a lot of research in this. So it probably it is.
Okay, great.
It is.
Neat.
It's yeah, so just, beautiful. I'm so obsessed with it.
The way it's kind of like transparent, mm-hmm. like the lace and the structure of that. I love that too. It's very cool.
I love this entire movie's costuming in general. I think it's done so well.
Yeah.
I can't say anything bad about it.
So if you were to take the 11, 2006, and 80s and then rank them, let's maybe do historically accurate. And then also if you have notes additionally of just like what you like personally, how would you rank these?
Okay.
And nobody's doing, like, allowed to get mad at you because we'll fight them.
Do you want to do like a go each one, like one out of 10 or like just in their own kind of thing?
I would say there's a gold medal, a silver medal, and a bronze medal.
All yeah. right.
Nice. And you can give those to these three movies. What are you going to do?
I don't know, because 83 and 2011 do have like a lot of research done. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to give them both like the gold medal.
But you can pick the one whose outfits you like better too. Like you yes. can okay. go, you can have that be the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So I'm going to give the gold medal to 2011.
Okay.
Nice.
Just by like a hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The silver is going to go to 83.
Nice.
And then the bronze medal to 2006.
One bronze medal, one stolen Emmy for justice.
Yeah, taking it back. She did not do her job well.
We're so mad, and we're sticking to this, and this is not a joke. This is real.
A bronze medal and a historically accurate corset. That's what they get.
There you go.
Incredible.
Very nice.
This has been so much fun. And genuinely, if it weren't for the fact that this is going in the internet, we would be talking for another 40 minutes at least.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Thank you for your expertise, which we didn't really cover, I think, you know, how you learned so much about this.
Yeah.
Is it mostly just research on your free time? Have you taken classes, like things about like the history of fashion? Tell us.
Pretty much. I was always obsessed with fashion, even in history, even as a kid. Like when I was a kid, I would watch documentaries when I had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Like I was that one.
Nice. I love that.
And I kind of fell into like this YouTube rabbit hole of the way people would dress in different time periods. Cause to me, it's a lot more of a personal kind of look into history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just loved it so much because there's so many like detail oriented little bits and I love little details like that. So it's just me like researching this like on my own, teaching myself how to sew so I can make this kind of stuff and just building my own little closet of
very
historical
cool.
costumes.
That's
so
awesome.
Layla, I do cosplay in my spare time, and I go to Ren fairs whenever I can. Where do you wear the outfits that you create?
I don't wear them in public.
Yeah? You're just for yourself at home? That's awesome.
It's just because I don't know anyone else who does this. So mm-hmm. I just like make my own project. I wear it. And I'm like, oh, that looks nice. All right. Now to the next one.
Okay. Well, if you're ever looking like for places to do that, I can say from experience, wherever you are, I'm not sure where in the United States you live, but there's definitely communities, conventions, all kinds of stuff. If you do want to wear that in public with others and not feel weird, there are out there.
You don't yeah. have to. We're not trying to bully you.
Yeah, you can also suggestion. Wear your stuff at home. But as someone who gladly goes out to show my freak flag in public, I'm like, you're not alone, everybody.
I want you to leave the house dressed as Jane Eyre.
Yes.
Right now.
I literally have a gown for that. I could do that if I wanted
I
to.
I saw that picture on your Instagram. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
One of my last questions for you, Layla, and it sure. doesn't, again, have to be related to Jane Eyre at all, but as a historical fashion fan, what is a movie or show where you saw the fashion and you were like, wow, they did the best? And what is one where you want to rip your hair out every time you see it?
Okay, so I'm going to say maybe for good ones, Downton Abbey is like a massive.
Oh, fun.
I love Downton Abbey so much because the costuming is amazing. January 2011, like I said before. Oh my God. So many. I have so many, but like, I can't think of any right now because I'm put on the spot. Thanks.
You can also, you can also email them to me and we can put a little list on our Instagram, give people an incentive to okay. go there.
And ripping my hair out. I saw like one picture of this one movie, like, about Anne Boleyn. The other Boleyn girl was at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing something that was so not Tudor, but trying so hard to be. And I just, like, looked at it for a good while. And then I said out loudly, what am I looking at?
And then you banned ever watching that movie because it would make just make you cry.
I think it's also historically inaccurate as well, like, in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's so
oh
funny.
My gosh. Leila, it has been an absolute pleasure for you to have your expertise, to have you walk us through this. Now we know so much more than we ever did before.
Thank you.
People want to, like, follow you online, stalk you, how can they do that?
Okay, so I am on Instagram, as said before, Victorian.historian. Remember the dot?
Nice.
I sew things, and I also rant about classic literature a lot. Nice. Like, a lot. So
which
if you're
is
into
also
that,
what we do. So
heck yeah. But I'm also on Etsy because I have nice. A shop. So if you'd like to browse my wares, I'm Layla's Historic Dress on Etsy. I sell 18th and 19th century women's undergarments.
Nice.
So that's why I know so much about corsetry, because I make corsets all the time.
Yay.
Those links will for sure be in the episode description.
Thank you.
Yes. So stalk Leila, give her all of your love, go and buy her corsets,
only
wear them under
sweet
your clothes.
If we find
yes.
out you're being mean to her, we will come to your house.
Yes. And steal your awards.
All of them. You got a participation trophy. You got an Emmy? We're taking that. You got a participation trophy for soccer when you were in fifth grade? That's coming home with me.
Yeah.
Your second grade spelling bee trophy? Gone.
Exactly.
Gone.
No more.
You'll never be able to prove that you did well at spelling in second grade. Never.
And if you want to file a complaint after we've broken into your house and stolen your goods, you can reach out to us. We are at Airbuds on most social things. You can also send us angry emails or emails of love and affection. Airbuds@gmail.com.
No neutral emails, please and thank you.
Yes.
If you have
the extremes.
If you have only nice things to say about us, thank you so much. Please give us 5 stars on the podcast apps. Please, it would be so nice. Write a couple sentences. We love
can
you.
I give a,
love us.
Can I give a 5 stars please. And be like, and put in the comments, I hated this. Like, this is so annoying.
Please yes. do. If you give us 5 stars, we'll find ironic reviews funny. If you give us 1 star, it'll make me cry a little bit. Just a little bit. Next week, we're going to be, so this is coming out end of February. We're recording it way sooner than that. Next week, we're doing a palate cleanser that we don't know what it's going to be yet, because we're doing a survey that's specifically for my birthday. So it's all ones that I chose. So you guys probably know what we're going to watch, but we don't know what we're going to watch yet.
Happy Yay. Early birthday.
Thank you.
Birthday surprise.
Yeah.
Woo. So yeah, make sure to chime in if that poll is
pick
still available.
Pick Bridgerton season 2. Piper
no,
will
don't.
Love it.
No,
Piper's
please don't.
Piper's going to love it. She's
no.
going to love it.
No, I want to see Notting Hill. I've never seen that one.
You can watch Notting Hill any day. I can only blackmail you into watching season 2 of Bridgerton once.
Oh my goodness. You guys, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us and being part of this beautiful community. We love you so much. And again, thank you, Leila, for sharing all of your wonderful insight. It's been
delightful. You are so welcome.
Thank you. Sincerely, thank you. It's
really?
Been a blast.
Yes.
Actually, for real, thank you.
No, we love you. This is so great.
I love being here.
Yay.
This is amazing.
Hooray. So until next time, you guys, happy Jane Eyre reading and watching, and happy Jane Eyre fashion obsessions.
Yes.
Yes.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You stay here.
Yes. Leila does not leave.